talk about it yet, like the other week?
Well, that's okay.
So I just don't know if it.
No, it's all right. We can talk about it now. It's only a week afterwards.
Well, that's true. Okay. And it, honestly, it's been cooking up for a while before the new year started.
Okay.
And it's continuing now, and I don't know what to do about it.
What is it, though? I don't want to mention it if it's not. What is it?
London wants me to grow my hair out, like really grow it out.
Oh.
Like man bun grow it out.
Whoa. Really?
My wife wants me to have a man bun.
Why?
And I don't know if it's a trick.
Wait a second. Is she turning you into a chick?
I hope not.
Is she like, hey, can you shave your face? Can we
put on a little liner?
Tweeze those eyebrows a little bit. Maybe do just a soft lip liner, maybe some lip gloss.
Something nude.
If you grow your hair out a little bit, maybe we can do like a ponytail.
Yeah, like
you're just, like, wait a second.
I get what's going on.
Hold
here.
Hold on.
Fortunately, thank goodness, she wants me to keep the facial stuff.
Well, now that's getting even kinkier.
If you want to look at it, you're right. Technically, you're right.
Has she mentioned any waxing places or anything like that?
She did. Oh, no.
Oh, she wants to take you for the old Brazilian?
She didn't call it that.
What does she call it?
The hombre.
I mean, I don't know. You could bring it up.
It probably is.
You could bring it up on the show if you want to.
Okay.
With growing your hair out?
Yeah.
Okay.
But because it's...
Is that a New Year's resolution, though, to, like, not get a haircut?
To me, I'm going to have to resolve because I don't want to do it.
Well, I don't know.
I actively don't want to do this.
Well, let's just talk about it right off the top of this episode. From Mike Hartley, it's Nathan Kress. Oh.
Where we are...
I have a feeling that was the beginning of the show.
Of course.
Just hanging out and talking dance stuff. Don't give school dads any dad
guff. Did I say anything offensive? I hope not.
Probably.
Probably. Malarkey, tie your pressure, playing catch, time out, corner,
doing raids, it's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Oops. Pull up a lawn
chair and open some suds. It'd be nice if our producer told us when they were recording. You better behave or they'll turn
this damn car right around. Keeps it interesting. Radioactive. Our producer probably wishes we'd also stop talking over the dang theme song.
Probably.
So neither one's getting what we want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, hey, you got your wish. That ended up on the show.
Great.
So now, you're growing your hair out.
Now we get to unpack that. Yeah. And I hate it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to look good. I really don't.
Well, but then you can always cut it off, though.
Well, but yeah, and that's where I'm glad that I'm going in this direction because you can always take it back.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to want – there's such a stupid grow-out period, and yeah. I started doing some research on this of how long I can expect this to take.
7 months.
It's at least 7 to 9 months.
At least.
Because I started from a pretty short cut.
Yeah, you won't be able to – do a bun till like September.
She did one on me kind of, but it was only the back half.
Nah, it's not.
It doesn't even nearly count. So everything in the front probably has at least 4 or 5 months before I could even get it to go in that direction.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. To pull it up in a bun, you have to gather all the stuff from the front and that has to be longer
than the stuff
in the back.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. I would assume. I don't know.
And what stinks is I've been able to put so many things off by saying, you know what, let me talk to my manager about it.
Oh.
And I brought this up to her, and she was like, yeah, do it.
Your manager.
Yeah. And I was like, no! You're supposed to be my out.
You're my buffer.
To say, oh, my manager says that I can't do it because it's going to blah, 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 blah. So I guess I can't.
It's the most L.A. thing ever, by the way. The most Hollywood thing ever to go to your wife and say, hey, honey, you know that thing you want me to do? Mm-hmm. My manager says that I can't.
Because she's in control of my life.
Yeah, your wife, like, London looks back at you like, well, guess who's the manager around here? Me.
Man, can you imagine having to decide when you're in utter conflict between your work mom and your wife, and they both have very different thoughts on what you should be doing with your life.
Yeah, that's a conundrum.
I don't even know what one would do.
I support the growing out of the hair as well. I think it sounds good. Dude, you know I'm all about making changes, man.
Yeah, but
I love it. I love shaking things up.
I don't know if this is going to be a good change.
This is not an instant change. This is like a long play.
That's why I hate it. Maybe
a little rough.
I should get a sweet wig.
Oh.
While it's growing.
Mmm.
And I can just cut to the good stuff. and then I'll just take it off when
you
it's
know
ready.
What I, you know what you could do? You know, I got a suggestion.
Yeah.
Are you going to grow it out?
I guess I am.
Okay. Yeah. I think you go beanie for a long time. You go hipster beanie.
Like Jughead. Like just be Jughead.
Yeah,
kind of,
right?
Because,
okay, it's January, so it's a little chillier.
Right, you get a
pass.
So
you can get away with wearing it.
That's
you don't look like one of those D-bags who's wearing it in the summer.
I had that phase.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Everybody does
2009,
that.
Baby.
Everybody,
bad year.
Everybody did it. Mm-hmm. But I think you go ahead and get yourself one of those, like, floppy hipster beanies.
Yeah.
And then you start wearing that, grow it out underneath. By about April, when is it time to take the beanie off? Like April?
Yeah.
Then you'll have, like, a pretty good, you'll have a pretty good coif going on in April.
Maybe.
I think you're beanie guy till April, man.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But my head gets so hot, Brett.
Well,
it's where I exhaust.
Them's the breaks, dude. Or hat. You could go like, you could just go baseball hat.
You know what? Hat. I already do that half the time anyway because I'm too lazy to do my hair.
Yeah.
But maybe I know what I'll do. I'll be a beanie guy and I just won't wear socks or shoes. I'll just be barefoot all the time so I can exhaust from my feet.
Barefoot beanie guy.
Barefoot beanie guy. The ultimate Californian.
Barefoot beanie guy.
Yeah.
Playing your guitar.
That'll be my Twitter bio.
Busking.
Busking, yes. I'll be a beanie.
Busking on the streets.
A beanie busker. A busker beanie. Like a beanie baby, but
barefoot,
for busking.
Barefoot beanie busker.
Barefoot beanie baby busker.
Perfect. Say that four times fast.
Nope.
Come on.
Barefoot beanie baby busker, barefoot beanie baby busker, barefoot beanie baby busker, barefoot beanie baby bear busker.
Oh, you almost had it.
I was really
close. You almost had it.
I actually thought I was going to do it.
That was pretty good, actually.
Now you got to try.
Wait, what is it?
Barefoot baby beanie busker?
Barefoot
beanie baby busker.
Barefoot beanie baby busker, barefoot beanie baby busker, barefoot beanie baby busker, barefoot beanie baby busker.
Whoa, ooh, that was close.
Close.
Right there on the line.
A little stumped there in the middle.
Man, okay. Yeah. Well, so then what's your thought then on man buns in general? Because I thought you'd be very anti-long hair man bun.
Man, you know what, dude? Nathan Kress.
I was expecting strong thoughts here. You're not going to tell me that. Whatever, man.
Dude, let me tell you, man. I've already been through my whole, like, yelling at people all the time phase in life. It was about from...
Now till forever?
It was about from, like, 3 years ago until about 6 months ago. I don't know, man. It's all good. Do you, man. That's all good. I'm down with it. It's all good.
That was not what I was.
I know it's not what you wanted, but I used to do a lot of yelling about the hipsters and the millennials and the whatever. But yeah. 2020, man, like, because we didn't really get to what our resolutions are for 2020 last episode. My 2020 resolution, man, is just like live and let live a little bit more, dude. Like, let go of control a little bit more.
All right. Well, no one in my life has told me not to.
I'm letting go of the steering wheel, man. Letting people do what they do.
Jesus, take the hair. Please don't take the hair, actually. That was a misspeech.
You know what? You might actually kind of look like JC if you grow out the
just
hair.
Just go Jesus.
And then you got
Jesus?
The beard. Yeah.
Like Walking Dead Jesus.
Yeah.
But his is just too, it's, I don't want that. I want like Disney Prince wave, you know?
Do you think your hair waves a little?
It's never been long enough to know.
The only time I've ever grown my hair out, the sides and stuff, I mean, were like past my ears. Like I got it.
Yeah.
I got it going. It was like maybe like a nice like 7 month without cutting hair.
Yeah.
It got pretty long.
And it stayed straight?
It stayed straight.
So
I know what the growing out process is and I'm just never doing that again.
That's what I'm worried about is it's just going to just fall.
Yeah, I know.
And there won't be any structure or depth or anything to it.
Hey, might as well give it a shot.
I got to try just so that I can say, look, I know what happens and it's not good.
This last year in 2019, in April 2019, I shaved all my hair off. I went for a really, really short haircut.
So you did the Brazilian.
I sort of did. And you can go back on my Instagram, whatever, check it out. I have always had short hair on the sides and a little longer on top and kind of like a spiky boy bandy kind of look or whatever. And in April 2019, after much joking about it with Mrs. Davern and also with my haircut lady, who always just say, let's just cut the whole thing off. And we get a big laugh out of that. Mm-hmm. I finally went, let's just do it. And she was like, really? Okay. And I was like, just do it. Just give me the Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. Like, just take it all off, right? And I was not even really nervous about it because I just thought, it's hair, it'll grow back, right? But I've never really switched up my look as an adult before, especially in that dramatic of a fashion.
Right.
and I did it. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't consult the managers. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I would joked about it with Mrs. Davern on my way out the door to go get my haircut. I said, I'm going to shave it all off. And she goes, do it. And then the door shut.
Why do wives always say that?
It was kind of a joke. And I did it. And I've got to tell you, Nathan Kress, it's the greatest thing I've ever done in the last couple years for myself personally.
Why?
It taught me so much. It taught me to, like, let go a little bit more. Hmm. It made the process of leaving the house every morning much quicker, which was great.
Yeah.
But you know what else? I also found about 6 weeks in that I wasn't looking in the mirror as much as I used to. At my hair, but then that also made me not look at myself all that often, which made me stop judging myself so much, which actually like led to this really great mental clarity of like not judging myself or being self-conscious all that often and things like that. And so it had this like kind of residual effect, and it was great. It was so freeing.
Wow.
And I'm in the process of growing it back out though. But here's the thing though. I did it from April till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot out of it and learned a lot. And so I'm going to take all those lessons with me now as I move forward and maybe grow it back out. And, you know, I can always just cut it off again if I want to. But so anyway, so to put a finer point on it, I fully support you changing up your physical appearance because I think you're going to get a lot out of it.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe I will learn some of the same lessons that you did. Although going the other way with it, the longer the hair is, the more I'm going to be looking
longer
going,
process.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It is the reverse a little bit.
I'm going to be more self-conscious unless I become beanie baby
Dude,
buggy
I found that I was like walking into meetings and things like more confident, like more not giving an S really all that often. Like I just was kind of like... Because the shaving it all off was sort of like F it move anyway.
Yeah.
I was like walking more. I found myself like walking more tall because the attitude of like not caring what people think bled over into all things. So anyway.
But didn't it make your head cold though?
Yeah, a little bit. But then I was just beanie guy with short hair.
The beanie baby.
In April.
Yeah.
I was that guy.
You're making that questionable choice.
Yeah.
Speaking of questionable choices for men.
Yeah.
That sweater.
Are we calling this a sweater?
That thing on your body.
More of a jacket, yeah.
That sheep with green on it.
This all goes into not caring, man.
I can tell.
You like this thing?
No.
Dude, come on.
I really don't.
This thing's legit. What?
Legitimately questionable.
It's ugly.
It is.
Yeah. So it's ugly on purpose.
Okay.
What?
The ugly on purpose thing.
You gotta let go, man.
I know there's something to it, but like...
This is all part of my 2020 look, man. It's the year of not giving a F. That's it. 2020 for Brett Davern is the year of not giving an F.
Brett, where'd it come from?
This jacket?
Yep.
Came from Urban Outfitters.
That's the problem!
What? That's the problem?
How much did you pay for it?
Oh, here's the pro tip. I got this jacket last summer at Urban Outfitters... So I think like regular price, this thing is probably like $150.
Yeah.
Something like that. I got the, no lie, I got the jacket for like $20. It was
at
so
Urban?
Cheap. Yes.
Because it was just on clearance.
At Urban on Ventura in Studio City.
That's shocking.
Yeah, man.
Because that's where all the questionable fashion decisions are
Dude,
made.
Dude, they only had like extra larges on the rack. So I asked the lady, I said, do you have any more of these in the back? And she was like, I think we actually do. And I was like, is it seriously $19.99? And she was like, yeah. I was like, if you can find me a medium, hook a brother up. And then she comes back with it, and I was like, sold. That thing is ugly, and it's definitely worth $20.
So that's not an extra large? Because
I think it's a medium. It might be a large. I don't know.
I mean,
sometimes I buy jackets a little big because I want to put another hoodie under it or something.
I just said this so you'd take your jacket off and show me what you got under
it.
No,
it's a medium, man.
Wow.
It's a medium. Yeah.
That is a
oversized.
Chunky
it's
medium.
It's kind of oversized, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's from the Husky Boys section.
Yeah.
But, dude, I love it. It's so comfy.
It does
and
look comfy.
It falls right into my, like, not giving an F 2020.
Here's my thing is you could have just trolled around at some thrift stores and found that for like $3.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but then it would smell like dead people.
You wash it.
What?
You wash it.
Well, yeah.
Like, okay.
Sometimes it's hard to get that smell of...
old person off.
I was thinking about the, what's the denture glue?
Oh, Not Pepsodent.
I don't know.
Whatever that. I know what you're talking about. Polydent.
Polydent. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to get the smell of Polydent and mothballs out of things.
Yeah, I understand. Actually, this is a fun thing to talk about because this actually happened really recently. Thrift shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of becoming a hobby in the Crest House.
Yeah.
I get so much joy, all of us do, out of finding really cool things at the thrift store, stuff like that that's purposefully hideous, and you spent almost no money on it.
Yeah.
And you know it's the only, but what stinks about this is there's other people who look purposefully hideous wearing this exact same sweater,
mm-hmm.
but then at the thrift store, you're the only one.
Yeah.
You're the only one who's
that's
got
true.
It.
That's
and
a good
I
point.
Went to a thrift store. It really, I don't even think counts as a thrift store because it's not like it was cheap, but it's one of those really curated secondhand stores where they pay people for their stuff.
Kind of consignment-y.
Kind of, yeah, but they only buy good stuff. So you know when you're going along the rack, you're finding things. So I was looking a little while ago for just a button-down for a photo shoot because I needed new headshots. And I just needed a dark blue button-down. Found a nice Zara shirt in my size for probably $10. I was like, sweet, good deal. Kept walking through. I found this genuine leather jacket based on the size of the lapels, probably from like maybe the late 70s.
Nice.
That was exactly my size, sleeve length, body taper, stopping at the right length on the waist, perfect material, buttery smooth because it was so broken in.
Yeah.
It made me feel like Han Solo.
Nice.
It was that perfect, just I've had this jacket my whole life, you know, my kids are going to smell that and they're going to remember it.
Ooh.
You know, like I had this whole thing.
Ooh, girl.
And it was somewhere around $50.
Yeah.
But
that's,
for an actual
for a leather jacket,
that's
nothing.
That's exactly my size.
They're basically throwing it away.
Exactly. I never find anything in my size because my arms are too stumpy. So the fact that was...
Hard to get a leather jacket tailored, too.
Exactly. You can't do it.
Nah.
The only downside, though, was it had some old man BO in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hard to get out of leather.
Right.
Because that stuff is in there.
It's in there.
I was looking up all the things, put baking soda on it, put it in the freezer.
So you bought it.
I bought it. Because I was like, you can't buy that.
Yeah,
that is a treasure that no one else is going to have. And it fits me too perfectly to say no to.
So did it work?
Not for a while. I put it out in the sun for days.
Yeah.
I put it inside out for days.
Yeah.
And it helped. It got some of the stuff out, but there was just if you breathe deep, it was just in there.
Yeah.
And so I finally went to a leather specialist dry cleaner place, and they had some treatments that they did to it that finally got it out.
Nice.
And it's probably 3% of what it was. You have to be almost looking for it to be able to smell anything weird. And at this point, maybe it's just me. I'm just putting my own stuff on it, and that's what smells. But that was one of the greatest thrift store moments of my life, and we've been chasing that ever since. So we are...
chasing the thrift store dragon.
There is some... I kid you not, if you haven't done it, you gotta do it.
Oh, it's
great for kids' stuff. Children's Orchard, I don't know if that's something that's nationwide, but for kids' stuff, we don't buy anything for Rosie new.
Because they get rid of it anyway.
Half
in a couple of months, they grow out of it.
The tag is still on it when we buy it, but you buy it for 10% of what they paid full price for.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do that for Rosie. We do it for ourselves. We went away back in November. We went away for our anniversary for a few days. And one of those entire days, we were up in kind of wine country area, and we just ended up going to consignment stores and thrift stores and estate sales
the whole day. You're 80.
Yeah.
You're 80 years old.
And we walked out with ridiculous treasures.
Hold on. You're so much younger than me, actually, but spiritually, you're older than me.
I'm dead.
You guys went like antiquing and consignmenting?
Yes.
You're old.
Bro, I got these shoes, these Cole Haan shoes at a thrift store for $3. These guys right here.
I love it.
And they're great.
I love it.
I got this amazing, super vintage 1960s wool tie for $1.
Yeah.
It was a thrift store where the entire store was 50% off.
Wow.
Of thrift store prices.
Whoa.
Which is kind of sad because then you know that store's going under if all their stuff is 50% off of thrift store prices.
You can really find good stuff there. A lot of
it's
people
amazing.
don't think about it.
Yeah.
But you really, I mean, Goodwills and stuff like that. You really can. You know what I like buying there? Yeah. Here's a little dad hack for everybody.
Yeah.
For all the dads out there listening or anyone who's in the market for these things, power tools.
Really?
You don't ever think about it.
No.
But if you go to a Goodwill or like Salvation Army, you can find power tools that are I found a electric cordless Ryobi circular saw, like a skill saw.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I got that thing for like $30 and it had the battery on it. The battery by itself
like
is over
bucks.
$50, yeah. $60. Yeah. And it works perfectly. I turned it on in the store.
Wow.
It's like, dude, I use it all the time. I got it for like $30. And if you bought that thing at Home Depot, it's close to $100
exactly.
at least.
Exactly. It's so, just insane what you can
little
do.
Tip. There's drills out there. There's hammers. There's all kinds of stuff. Tool wise.
Yeah, I never
it's a good
thought
place
about
to
tools.
Go. But I mean, you know, it's not like, oh, I need a tool. I'm going to go to Goodwill.
Sure.
But if you're there already shopping for something or like you said, like you're just kind of looking around for cool glassware or like whatever. Because they have the cool teapots and weird
stuff. Exactly. Stuff you'd never find anywhere
else. Check out the tool section too.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I should. I don't think they had one at that store. But they had, to that point, they had these really cool coupe cocktail glasses, like the kind of really short, stumpy ones.
Yeah.
A matching set of four for $1 each.
I know.
And those things, I'm pretty sure, were crystal.
Yeah.
And probably super expensive when someone bought them, and they're just sitting there on a shelf collecting dust, and you can bring back that era, you know?
It's crazy good. What you can do. And you know what else? Like, here's another thing about that because I love this stuff too. Mm. One, I like going out of town, not in LA. Like, every time I go back up to Seattle or my hometown or whatever, hit those places, I don't know why, you just can find better stuff, it seems like.
Yeah.
But one other thing that we used it for the kids specifically, bicycles. Bicycles, because they're gonna grow out of them.
Yes.
We found a little boy, you know, a little bicycle for the boy.
Yeah.
With training wheels on it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, dude, it literally paid like $12 for this thing. It's fine. Even if you have to put new tires on it, you're still cheaper than whatever you were gonna get brand new.
Exactly.
They don't know the difference. And a year later, guess what you do? Take it right back to Goodwill.
Uh-huh.
So that's another thing I like using those things for, is like buying things for the kids that you know they're going to grow out of anyway. You buy it, you use it, and if it's in good condition, you know, when you're done with it, just take it right back and somebody else can use it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like a rental thing because who wouldn't pay $12 for 2 years of a bicycle? That's what?
That's
awesome, right?
Yeah.
So I use it for that kind of stuff all the time.
That makes a lot of sense.
A lot of people only think clothing when they think thrift stop or thrift store or whatever.
We think that are housewares.
But the bicycles and stuff.
Yeah.
And check that stuff out.
Estate sales are where it's at, though, because then it's just a bunch of rich people who died in their old age, so they have actual treasure.
They might have had this coat laying there.
They might have. That's what I'm saying. We went to an estate sale, and I saw a coat almost exactly like that.
When I saw this jacket hanging up at Urban Outfitters, I thought, that probably smells like my grandfather.
Yep.
And that's pretty much why I bought it.
You look like you smell like your grandfather.
Yeah, I do, man. Hell yeah.
Oh, we should take a break.
I got a question for you that actually pertains to coats.
Fun.
And cold weather.
Let's talk about it in
a moment.
And
whether or not I'm a good father or not.
Oh, boy. Oh, now I'm excited.
I'll ask you after the break.
Okay.
All right, Nathan Kress, let me set the scene for you. Are we bad parents or not? That's the overall question here.
Yes.
All right. It's January. It's a little cold. Even in Southern California, it's a little chilly.
It's nippy.
Just that time of year for everybody, right? We were at the park. This is sometime over the Christmas and New Year's break, you know, a couple weeks ago. And so we're standing at the park. It's like 4:30, 5 o'clock. Sun's kind of starting to go down a little bit. It's twilighty. The sun's going to be fully down by about 5:45, 6 o'clock. But so it's before that. But it's starting to go down. And we're at the outdoor park, outdoor play area, jungle gym thing, right? And there's a bunch of people, a bunch of families and everything. And we were hanging out with some parent friends, a couple groups of parent friends that are people we know, meet up with often and whatever. And the kids are running around playing. And right around 4:30, 5 o'clock, all the mothers and stuff that we hang out with started just kind of like, honestly, like freaking out. that their kids weren't wearing jackets and they had to get them out of there immediately. So it was as if like a tsunami was coming towards the park. Mm-hmm. Like there was imminent danger coming and they had to get them out of there fast. It was like 4:30 hit and all these mothers and some fathers started going, oh, we've really got to get them out of here and get them home. It's getting really cold and I forgot their jackets and it was really nice hanging, but we got to go. Like they all of a sudden became frantic. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Davern and I are like, are you guys going to be okay? Like calm down. It's, well, hold on. Let me check my phone here. It's, 59 degrees. It's not that cold, guys, yeah. You know? And they were all like, oh, no, it's far too cold. Like, we've got to get out of here. I really should have brought their jackets. Mm-hmm. And then we looked off towards the boy and the girl, and they were both running around in jeans, mm-hmm. so long pants,
sure.
But with no shoes and socks on because it helps them climb the jungle gyms better. They hate the shoes and socks
right.
at the thing. So they had no shoes and socks on, and they had T-shirts on, and they were running around. And Mrs. Davern and I were both standing there. I think I was wearing a button-down with a T-shirt under it, but, like, just a – you know, cottony, like nothing insulated,
yeah.
and some jeans and some shoes, and she was wearing something similar. And we were both just kind of like, wow, like we're not freaking out at all. And like, it's not even really that cold. And what's an extra 20 minutes going to do? And why is everyone freaking out? And I mean, what say you?
I know exactly what this is because this actually... So funny. This just happened to me very recently at our local park.
Okay.
And I was on the receiving end of it.
Yeah.
Where I had that moment where I was like, oh, I think we need to go.
You were feeling cold?
No, it was. So what it is one parent, the one super anal retentive parent who won't let their kids do and take risks, do anything, you know,
it's that kid at my boy's preschool, or it's that parent at my boy's preschool who was worried about them eating Oreos.
Right, exactly. It's those parents, the ones who are just a little bit good parents.
Like almost probably too good, though.
Right, but a little bit too proactive.
Like the kind of overbearing where your kids will probably hate you someday.
Right.
You're really good while they're young.
Exactly.
But they're going to resent you someday because just let them eat the GD Oreo.
Right. It's the helicopter parents. And all it takes is that one to say, Johnny, put your sweater on. And then all the other parents.
Johnny?
It's John. Well,
what
sorry.
Are you talking about?
Declan. Oedipus.
Osiris.
Persimmon.
Oh, my goodness. Declan.
It's Declan.
That's great. That's great.
So Declan has to put a sweater on.
Declan.
But then all the other parents start looking at each other going, oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so the good parent said it's time to put a sweater on. Now
the good parent.
That literally means if I don't have my child put a sweater on, I'm a bad parent
I'm
now.
I'm going to be judged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now that parent is going to be eyeballing me saying, What about you?
Why didn't you bring a... Yes.
It seems odd to me.
It's the same parents who looked at us. The boy made it all the way till he was 4 before we put him in any kind of a preschool or anything like that. Because we put him in actual preschool.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else had put their kids in a daycare before that. We've already talked about this on the show that people like to call it school or, oh, they're going to early education or they make up all these buzzword things for it, but let's all be honest with everybody. You guys wanted some time off or have a job and needed to put them somewhere.
Right.
That's called daycare.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had never put them in anything like that because we're better than all of you. no, I'm just kidding.
Just remember that.
You know, that is the irony of that, right? Is that all those parents who are using those buzzword things for the thing that they put their kid in, they want to pretend that they're better than you because they put their kid in something and you haven't yet. But actually,
something is daycare.
I could argue that us spending time with our kid makes us better than you. Anyway, I digress. What was my point?
I think your point was...
Good, send your letters. I don't care. At me, bro.
At him, don't at me. I understand. It's about like the one good mom making your son feel bad because he was in pre...
Oh, yeah. Like those... those parents are the ones who are the ones freaking out about the jackets and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know who it's going to be, but the problem is you instantly feel the judgment if you're not one of those parents.
Yeah.
So it just becomes, okay, then the next person says, oh yeah, no, you need a sweater too. And then the next person's like, well, now two people have said it, so I have to do it, but I forgot my freaking jacket.
And it leaves us standing there, like Mrs. Davern and I are standing there going like, oh yeah, we're gonna take off in a minute too, because they're probably cold. And then all those parents leave and get in their cars and drive away, and we go, so like another half an hour? Yeah. And we're like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? Yeah.
That's fine. They seem fine.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Sometimes you have to, if I had a jacket.
Sure.
I would say, you know what? Your arms are cold. I can feel your hands are really cold.
Of course.
Even if you're not complaining. And that's the thing. Rosie runs real hot.
Yeah.
So usually she's just nuclear.
Yeah.
Even when everyone else is cold, she's not. But even when I can feel that her hands are cold, she never complains about it.
Mm-hmm.
She never says, to indicate that something's wrong. So I have to be the one to do it. But it's like, if your 4.5-year-old son doesn't come up to you and say, Dad, I'm cold.
Yeah, no.
Then
which they never do, by the way.
He can take care of himself.
Yeah, they don't really do. Especially, look, we're talking about 59 degrees here.
Right,
we're not talking about.
It's not snowing.
No, we're not talking about 22 degrees with 3 feet of snow on the ground. Yeah.
This also isn't calm down. The dark ages when people thought you could literally catch cold.
Well,
you know,
catch cold. It reminds me, though, of the mom in A Christmas Story. You know how she puts on the younger brother. It like looks. They say he looks like he's going like deep sea diving or whatever before he goes outside. It's like, you know, how ridiculous. We all like to laugh at that mom in The Christmas Story, like how over the top and silly she's being.
Yeah.
But then most of the people laughing at it then become that in life. So it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
So that's what it is. It's just that one parent, and then it becomes the snowball effect of guilt and judgment.
Yeah.
That you feel like you have to do it.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about right now that maybe is part of the larger conversation that we could have is my feeling is that obviously it's a little chilly out there.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you remembered to bring a jacket to the park, like, why not put it on them? I'm not saying like force them to be out in the cold. But if the kid isn't noticing the thing that's going on, and let's talk about this. So let's take another break and then let's talk about this. If the kid isn't noticing the thing, whatever it is, cold weather, spicy food, I could take this into a lot of different realms here. If the kid isn't noticing the thing that the parent is noticing, but then the parent starts to freak out about it, do you then pass that freak out onto your kid? And then what does that do to them moving forward? Well, do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like, if you're nervous Nelly, and then your kid starts picking up on that and they become nervous Nelly, is that good?
Yeah. So much to say.
All right.
So much to unpack. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. All right. So I asked you the question before the break.
Yeah.
If we're standing at the park, it's 59 degrees. Once again, it's not freezing outside.
Right.
It's 59 degrees. And by the way, for LA, that is a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
The wind blows through. There's not a lot of humidity to keep the heat in.
Right.
So 59 degrees probably feels more like the high 40s.
Yeah. It's crisp.
It's crisp. And you're standing at the park, but you as the parent start freaking out like, oh, Declan, we have to get out of here. It's cold. We forgot your jacket and we need to get you home right away. That sort of mentality. Does your child start to pick up on that? And do they then start to become a little neurotic when they weren't feeling that at all?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
I absolutely think so. That's something that I had a lot of trouble with. And so much of that is, I think, exemplified in when kids hurt themselves.
Oh, yeah.
When they fall down and how you react.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's times I have had to, oh, it's so hard. But one of those pivotal parenting things that you have to do is train yourself when they fall down and even when it looks really bad to not go, oh!
Right.
Oh, are you okay? Oh, that looks so bad. Because in the beginning, I had a lot of trouble with that.
I know.
And Lennon would have to be the one to say, no, you're making it worse. She was probably fine, but once she saw your face, then she said, oh, I must really be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Now I am hurt. Now I'm crying and come comfort me.
Yeah.
Whereas there's also been times now, thank goodness, where we were at the park the other day and it was getting a little bit dark and it was that moment right before the lights turned on at the park and it was getting too dark outside and she missed a step.
Uh-oh.
and went basically face down. And I think she stopped herself just barely with her hands, but it was a good distance-wise, it was a good fall because she went down the step.
Yeah.
And that was one of those where I reflexively jumped.
Of course.
It was one of those, oh, you might have really done it there.
It's only natural.
This day might be over, but I held off. And I noticed that she wasn't looking in my direction when she fell, so I just kind of steeled myself and did one of those, you okay?
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, and just got up and ran off.
Yeah.
And that would have, that I'm sure that hurt.
Well, but it's something that we're really conscious about in all things, not just with the temperature outside or whatever, but in all things. Like, if you're going to be that parent who's freaking out about the Oreo and that the Oreo has to be organic and blah, 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 and you don't want them having sugar and blah, blah, blah. Like, and I understand that that all comes from a good place. Mm-hmm. But your child is going to live out in the world where sugar exists and where they're going to be offered sugar and whatever. And you probably ate an Oreo growing up. So, like,
I did.
Just it's about the freak out factor.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine if you don't want your kid to have sugar and, like, whatever. But your reaction to the Oreo, you've got to worry about, to me, you got to think a little bit about what they're, how they're going to then react to similar things going forward through life. Like, we had one when the kids were younger. Mrs. Davern would say, like, oh, that food is spicy. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we can't order them that because it's spicy.
Yeah.
And I looked at her one time and I said, you realize there's plenty of children growing up in the world where they grow up where spicy food is ubiquitous. Like, just being a young child and eating spicy food, that, so what? Like, they're just human beings. Like, we just happen to live in a, like, in a culture where we just kind of eat maybe more bland foods more often. But that there's plenty of kids growing up in, like, India or, like, southern China where, like, these, like, really spicy foods are, like, a way of life. Mm-hmm. The age has nothing to do with it.
Right.
They're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And so we had this talk where I was like, just let them try it.
Yeah.
And they can figure it out. Now, I'm not talking about, like,
don't give them a
handing them a ghost pepper like it's an apple. Like, no, but, like, just, you know, a mild salsa or something.
Right.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Right? And guess what? Our kids love chips and salsa, and it's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Yep.
And let them figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying, like, if it's freezing outside and their lips are turning blue and they're shivering, like, obviously you need to step in and do something about that.
Yeah.
But if it's just a little nippy, like, or maybe just remind them, like, hey, you want to put on your jacket? It's all about the tone, right?
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
In a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Like, with bedtimes, for example. Mm-hmm. If you're in front of your child going, like, I've got to get them down right away because tomorrow will be a bad day if they don't go right down at 7 o'clock. So come on, Johnny. Like, it's bedtime. Like, please get in bed right now because your routine's going to be all thrown off. If you're doing that in front of them, I just worry that you're doing more harm than good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're giving your kids a complex.
Yeah, you pick up on so
much. In my opinion.
And this is a case study between me and my wife because we had very flip sides of that coin growing up. My dad, not so much. My mom is on the nervous side.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a lot of things that she's very unsure about. She, you know, sometimes she gets kind of freaked out with driving, especially because she was driving me to Santa Monica all the time. And that span of distance, you will see some horrible things on the freeway.
Yeah, sure.
So, but she kind of has some neuroses about that. And she's just much more cautious and, you know, well, I don't know because this, and this. And I definitely picked up a lot of that where I have become sometimes overly cautious, which I'm sure you've been able to identify in me from time to time.
Yeah.
And it's something that has not caused conflict because I think we complement each other in this way. But there's definitely been those times where London has had to tell me it's fine. You know, that even if it goes wrong, what's the worst?
Right.
It just, okay, it went wrong.
Yeah.
But you have to at least try it.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the time, it's not going to go wrong, and you're going to have a great experience because of doing this thing that you were concerned about.
Right.
And so she, in my upbringing, it was much more, now you need to really think about this. We need to be cautious. Keep all of these things in mind. Whereas her family was more like, let's just see what happens. Let's go have this experience. Let's go try it. Maybe it's going to be terrible. Who knows? But we'll make some memories. And, you know, the rules just didn't – there weren't as many. And even if sometimes there should have been rules, there weren't. And they were able to they were able to make more decisions for themselves,
yeah,
and be more experimental with things and try things and just live out there, yeah, a little bit more, because that's how their parents were.
Right.
And I obviously there's a balance. You can't just say, that's what I was going to say.
I think, well, then see, that's good though, because Rosie now, she's going to get the balance of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is healthy, because, yeah, you have to have a healthy skepticism and fear and like whatever of certain things. It helps, right, keep human beings alive. Like, yeah, don't go down that dark road or path, like pick the lighter one because it's probably safer. Like, right, that healthy kind of like sixth sense, fear, spidey sense thing that you have, it's good to develop that.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
The like the neurotic freak out, that's the part that I'm like, what are you doing to like that he's listening to you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Set a more even-keeled, steady example. That's my opinion, mm-hmm, on it.
I completely agree.
We ran into it with spicy foods. I'll tell you the one that we didn't negotiate well, and it's still happening, is, and Mrs. Davern, the greatest mom in the world, but this one's her fault. And I'm sorry. It just is.
It's right
just
now.
True. It's just true.
Okay.
And she knows it. And we've actually like talked a lot about this though. Mm. It's only the boy who has it. And it's usually the firstborn who gets some of this stuff because you're more nervous with, yeah, them anyway, right?
Right.
Food wise, mm-hmm, back to food for a second. Temperature of the food, not spicy level of the food, but temperature of the food. If there is even the hint of residual heat in any food he's about to eat, he will not eat it. He like looks at us and he goes, no, it's still warm. No.
So he only eats cold, not even warm food, but
oh my
cold
God.
Food.
I mean, it's like room temp food all the time, no matter what he's eating. He will not even touch it. He puts his fingers on it. He goes, no, mom, still warm. No, still warm. And it's something that she kind of gave to him when he was starting to eat foods.
Yeah.
She would go like, oh no, careful, it's hot. Careful. Oh no, careful. Careful, it's hot. Like, mm-hmm, she would give him, and there was so much of that, and I didn't really pick up on it, and I hadn't really like developed these things of like, don't give your freak out to them, yeah, sort of philosophies yet, and she hadn't either, because she it's something we definitely have like come up with together as the years have gone on.
Yeah.
But so we hadn't developed that yet. And so now he has it full blown. He,
wow.
And I don't think that it'll last until he's,
oh, sure,
into adulthood.
Yeah.
But I've seen it play out where, mm-hmm, like her freak out about it. Now he freaks out about it. And now we're doing the work to try to like bring him out of it,
yeah,
which is to just say like, yeah, it's a little warm, but like try it. It's okay. It's better that way. Or like blah, blah, blah. Or like try to work with him, mm-hmm, through it. So I don't know. I think I've seen firsthand that you can. The freak out is contagious.
Yeah.
Oh, it can be.
It absolutely is. And that was actually something we were trying to figure out how to do that when we were starting to do solid foods. And like you were saying, sometimes it's just better warmer, or with meat, it kind of needs to be warm,
yeah,
so that it's tender enough that,
sure,
they can chew it.
Sure.
So we would kind of go the other way with it. I don't know if we've ever really said, now be careful, it's hot, because,
yeah,
when something was hot, we would just say, hang on a second. And we would test it, blow on it, stir it around, taste it, see how,
yeah,
it was. And get it while it was in our hands to the perfect hot, but not so hot that it would hurt you temperature.
Of course, yeah.
And then just say, have at it.
Right.
And then we never have to say, careful. And we're just now we're on the other side of it, where sometimes we just hand her something and she'll take it and put it in her mouth and go, huh, and spit it out because it was too hot.
Right.
But she'll now just say, hot.
That's what I was saying to her originally. I was saying, like, you're never going to give him, like, a boiling bowl of soup.
Right.
So, like, calm down a little bit and, like, let him, you know, I don't mind the, like, you know, it's going to be a little warm or, like,
yeah,
whatever. But it was the, like, be careful. Like,
right.
Oh,
you're going to get hurt.
You're going to,
yeah,
get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like giving them that freak out is something that we're really conscious of.
Yeah. I think the hot thing is especially difficult because we teach them so much. Oh, the stove is hot. The fire's hot.
Right, right.
You know, like, oh no, bad,
yeah,
bad, bad. So the word hot automatically means you're going to get hurt.
Right.
If you do this. So that's,
yeah,
a really thin line to try to thread.
We try to just say to each other around the house, like, don't make them freak out about something that they're not already aware of or,
right,
whatever. Like, don't, like, how about movies? Like, this, we've had to have this with movies, like, where it's like, oh, that one's a little scary, you know? And it's like, no, it's, I mean, no, yeah. or like maybe to you or whatever. Like if we've deemed it appropriate to watch,
yeah.
you know, because there's even things in Disney movies yeah, that are like a little Pixar. Dark or uh-huh. like something's going to jump out even in, you know, the animated stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Like even like Ursula in The Little Mermaid
yeah,
or something
she freaked me
can
out as a
be
kid.
Scary,
yeah.
right? But telling them beforehand
exactly.
so that they're it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Like you're telling them, you're going to be scared by this, mm-hmm. then they watch it, and then they're scared by it.
Right, exactly.
Like, you're the parent, you've already decided that it's going to be fine.
Right.
Let them just experience it, yeah. see what happens.
And if you're wrong and they start going, and you see,
yeah,
just turn
you
it
can
off,
tell.
You know?
Right, you're
we
right
made,
there.
We made that mistake the other way. I wish I could remember what movie it was. It might have just been Coco. But there were parts that got, like, kind of intense.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, he's, like, about to fall or whatever. And she would get kind of emotional and a little bit freaked out, but then
nervous.
She would see that everything was fine and go, ah.
Right.
Like, you know, it taught her compassion to feel bad for the boy who was about to get hurt and yeah. then really, you know,
yeah.
it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So we tried it that way, but there was, I can't remember what it was, there was a movie we had to turn off that we weren't expecting. It was a kid's movie, but it was, you know, it just got
at
to
the risk
bit.
Of repeating myself, I think it's the thing of telling them how they're going to feel mm-hmm. in advance without knowing that that's how they're going to feel.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the thing. Like,
you got to give
just,
them a
like,
chance.
To me, I just want to stay away from that.
Yeah, I agree. You know?
With good reason, obviously.
Right, for sure. Yeah, that's a good thing to keep in mind.
I'm not going
to
tell them, like, no, just, like, jump out of the airplane, see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, no.
You're a smart guy.
yeah. yeah. You know when to right. pick and choose. But I will tell you, the not freaking out, it's really hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's a challenge. It's a skill. Know? It's a muscle you have to really develop. So.
Yeah, yeah. It takes yeah. practice.
Indeed. Indeed it does.
Anyway, I'm going to keep wearing this jacket.
All right.
I don't care what
I'll
you
grow
say.
My hair out, you wear your jacket, and we'll both just see who wins at the end of 2020.
Yeah, man, it's 2020, man.
Just do whatever. Just do whatever.
It's Tauntaun.
It's Tauntaun.
Tauntaun.
Like Tauntaun. That's my Tauntaun impression.
You got to wrap the show. You got to wrap the show. We're done with this one.
Okay, I think we covered it.
We definitely. I think that we covered it.
We did. Indeed.